We're going into next year with the last two. So let's read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. To the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that we have your word in our own language, in lots of different translations and lots of different versions. And we are so privileged to be able to read your word for ourselves. We pray for those who do not have this privilege. We pray for those who are working so that other people can have the Bible in their own language, for the Bible societies, the Gideons, the Wycliffe translators. Lord, we want everyone to be able to read your word for themselves so that you might speak to them. But tonight we ask that you will speak to us. Lord, sometimes your word is easy to understand, and sometimes it's a bit more complicated. But Father, tonight we pray that as we read and consider this letter to this church, that you will speak to us, that we will have ears to listen and hearts to obey, because we know that as you have promised, then we will be blessed. And you will be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Sardis. In its heyday, Sardis had been one of the greatest cities in the world. It was very wealthy. The saying, as rich as Croesus, comes from one of its kings. Very, very wealthy, very, very rich, very secure. It was built, apparently, on top of a rock that was 1,500 feet high. So it must have looked pretty impressive, right up high on this rock. And the sides of the rock were smooth. So you would think that nobody could get in there, or up there, perhaps we should say. Totally impregnable. There it was, high up on this smooth-sided rock. The people there lived in blind confidence that this state of affairs would last forever. Who's going to get in and beat us? Who's going to get in and take us over? Nobody. Look where we are. They were unprepared for the surprise attack. And during one of the wars, one of Cyrus's men found one spot where he could get in, where there was no guard. And in he got, and the rest of the army with him. The people were forced to give up all their weapons. They were forced to give up all kinds of martial arts. No more karate or judo there. And over the years, they became flabby, rich, and degenerate, unable to defeat the enemy. Now there's a church there. People have come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. They're joining together to worship and to learn, to reach out to others. And here Jesus is writing them this letter. And he says, these are the words of the one who holds the seven spirits of God. You remember what I said right back at the beginning, which I know is a long time ago now, because there's five letters and the introduction. So we're talking a year ago, probably. When I said, when you look at the description of Jesus at the beginning, in each one of these letters, at least one of those descriptions is mentioned again. And here we're told that Jesus is the one who holds the seven stars and has the seven spirits of God. He's part of the Godhead, and he is Lord of the church. And as such, he has a right to decide how well they're doing. And so he writes to them and he says, I know your deeds. That sounds like a pretty good start, doesn't it? I know your deeds. I know that you do things. I know what you're up to. I know what you do in that church. But you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Oh, can you imagine? If you were sitting in church one Sunday morning or even one Sunday night and says, I've got a letter for you. And I said, good. It's a letter from God, really? And he starts off by saying, well, you've got a good reputation, but actually, inside you're dead. I think we'd be a bit shocked. Perhaps we'd be a bit worried. We might even be a bit cross. Us? No, never. I wonder how the people reacted to this letter. Do you think they all got up and walked out while it was being read? Or they just sat there and seethed inwardly? Us? What's he talking about? That's not us. He says, you look good, but actually you're not. You know, in this church, there's no heresy. There's no one coming along preaching things that aren't true. There's no one going around saying, well, you don't have to believe that anymore, or you can believe this as well. None of that. No problems from the inside. There's no persecution from the outside. No one is coming along saying, if you don't stop believing, you'll be in trouble. The problem was that they were not led by God's Holy Spirit. As it says in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, they had the form of godliness, but no power. We need to make sure, on a personal level and on a church level, that we don't just rely on having a good reputation. You know, we go to a church that is very big. We have a very good reputation. I believe it's deserved by and large. But you know, even in a big church, there are times when our reputation is good, but inside things ain't so good. In a smaller church, you can have a good reputation. Oh, that's the church where they do this. You know who goes there. It's him. He does such and such. And we can look good from the outside as individuals and as churches. But inside, you can remember that Jesus said to the Pharisees, you think that you look good. Everyone else thinks that you look good. Because you do all the right things. You fast. You go to the temple. You go to the synagogue. You give a tithe of everything you've got, even the mint in your garden. But inside, you don't live up to your reputation. It's my prayer that not only would I have a good reputation, but that I live up to that reputation. That this church has a good reputation. And people say good things about you, not bad. There's nothing worse than people saying bad things about your churches. You know, that lot down the road, have you heard what's going on there lately? Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, he's let the side down. We don't want that sort of reputation. We want a good reputation. They're kind, they're loving, they're faithful. They obey God. But it's got to be inside as well. Through God's power, through the Spirit's leading. You look all right from the outside, says Jesus. But you're dead. It's time to wake up. Wake up. In the past, the city had fallen to its enemy because of sleeping guards. The people who should be watching out to keep the city safe were asleep, not awake. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Wake up from slumber. Wake up." And so Jesus says, wake up, don't go to sleep. You should be watching out. We'll come to that in a minute. Don't go to sleep. It's dangerous sometimes to go to sleep because you don't know what might happen. Like those guards in that war, somebody's going to come up behind you and defeat you. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. So there's obviously a little bit of life there. Just strengthen it. If you don't strengthen what you've got, you'll even lose that. You know what they say? If you don't use it, you lose it. And even if you've only got a little bit of strength, then carry on and build that strength up. And then he says, remember. Remember what you've received. What had they received? What had they heard? They'd received the gospel. They'd received the good news of Jesus that we've been singing about tonight. They'd received the news that if they repented of their sins, if they put their trust in Jesus, they would belong to him. That their sins would be forgiven. They would have a home in heaven. A friend in Jesus, the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. Remember what God has done for you. Remember what you heard. What had they heard? They'd heard the gospel. They'd heard the letters read to them. They'd heard the teaching from the scriptures. Remember. Remember. But don't only remember, hold on to it. You know, Paul wrote to one of the churches, he said, test everything that you hear. Go away and think about it, and then hold on to what is good. Hold on to what is good. Hold it fast. Because people will come along who twist the message. People will come along with a wrong message. People will come along and tell you that the message that you've believed is wrong. And you need to hold on tight to the truth. The truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word. So he says, remember, hold it fast and repent. He comes to this church and he says, It might not be what you've done that's your sin, but it's relying on yourself. It's your attitudes. It's the fact that you go around saying that you're alive and actually you're dead. We need to repent, acknowledge sin, and go God's way. And then he says, watch, watch. That was the problem earlier on. The watch guard wasn't watching, and the city fell. Jesus said to his disciples, just before he died, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Peter tells us to watch out because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion looking for people to destroy. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, be on guard and stand firm in the faith. Watch and pray. And it reminded me of the disciples on that night when Jesus was betrayed. What did he say? Watch and pray. While I go over there to pray, you stay here. Watch what I'm doing, and you pray too, that you might not fall into temptation. And he comes back. And what are they all doing? They're all fast asleep. Not much praying done. So he goes away again, and he comes back again. And they're asleep again. And he says, couldn't you even stay awake for an hour to watch, to pray with me? And then, of course, the guards come and arrest Jesus. And they fall into temptation. Peter is tempted to pick up his sword, swipe off the high priest's servant's ear, get in there and do it that way. And then when that doesn't work, they all run away. And then Peter, who's perhaps desperate to see what's going on, is there standing by the fire. At least he's close, I suppose. And three times people say to him, you know Jesus, don't you? Me? Jesus? No? Don't know him? Oh, but you do. You speak like him. No, I don't know him. And because Peter went to sleep, because he didn't watch, because he didn't pray, he falls into temptation. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to think that we can do it on our own. It's so easy for us to look at others and say, fancy them. Fancy them doing that. I'd never be like that. I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't happen to me. What does Jesus say? Watch. Watch, says Peter. The devil is out there and he's going to trip you up whatever way he can. And Paul writes, be very careful. If you think you're standing, you might be setting yourself up for a fall. And in order to avoid that, watch and pray. So we need to make sure that we're living lives according to our reputation. That our reputation is good, yes, but that we live up to it. That we have woken up to the dangers around us. That we remember what God has done for us. We remember what we have heard and read in this book. That we obey what God says to us. That when necessary, we repent, acknowledging our sin and deciding to go God's way once again. watch and pray. If they don't wake up, says Jesus, he will come like a thief. This isn't referring, as sometimes it is, to the second coming. Sometimes we talk about the second coming of Jesus as him coming as a thief. But this is just Jesus warning them that if they don't wake up and watch, just like that soldier scaled that 1,500 foot rock when people weren't expecting it, he will come back to that church and maybe remove its witness. But there's a ray of hope. It's always good to have a ray of hope, isn't it? There are a faithful few, says verse 4. They haven't soiled their clothes. They are living pure lives. They're living up to their reputation. And they will be rewarded by God. They will walk with him. They will be dressed in white, clothes that were worn at joyful occasions to show their purity and to show their triumph in this world and the next. Verse 5, I've read quite a few commentaries, and most people totally gloss over this verse because they don't understand it. So if you're asking me to explain it, I told you there were things that were difficult to explain. It says, the one who is victorious will like them be dressed in white. Victors. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. I don't believe that this teaches that if you become a Christian and your name is in the book, that if you suddenly become not a good Christian, your name gets scrubbed out. We are saved forever. God holds on to us. There are some people who believe that God has a book of life, that everyone's name is put in when they're born. And those who don't believe, their names are scrubbed out. I don't know. But I say, I've read several commentaries and they were all hopeless. If you'd like to, anyone knows the answer and wants to come and explain to me later, that'd be brilliant. But you know, once we put our trust in Jesus, we are safe for time and eternity. Jesus holds his hand in ours, and his Father's hand goes over the top. Nobody can snatch us from his hands. We can lose our fellowship with him. We can lose our peace and our joy if we're living without the Spirit, if we're living in our own strength. But he will never, ever let us go. And Jesus says, if you've got ears, then listen. Listen, but not only listen. You remember what it said at the beginning of these letters? If you listen and obey, then you will be blessed. There's a blessing for everyone who reads Revelation, as difficult as it can be, and puts it into practice. There is always blessing when we listen to God's word, when we read God's word, when we take it into our hearts and decide that we will obey. As individual Christians, we are alive in Jesus Christ. If people know that you are a Christian, do you live up to that name? Do I live up to that name? I don't suppose there is, but maybe there may be someone there who has a reputation of being a Christian. Oh, they go to church, yeah, they're Christians, but actually has no personal faith. Looks good, but actually it isn't real. Pray that you will put your trust in Jesus for yourself, and it will become real. to you. Inside, are we dead? Are we cold towards God, even though he is our Saviour? Are we asleep? Well, let everyone else get on with the work. Well, let everyone else do it. I'll just sit here in my corner. Are we unwatching? Are we thinking that we will always be all right? Proud of ourselves? Or are we trusting in God? And is it the same for our churches? Are we living on memories? Are we more concerned with the way that we look? The way that we do things? Or are we concerned with life? With the life of Jesus being shown in us as individuals and as churches? Are we relying on the power of the Holy Spirit or on ourselves? Let's wake up. Wake up. There's a great task for us to do. People need to know Jesus. People need to come to know him. Let's not go to sleep on the job. Let's wake up. Let's remember. In a minute, we're going to remember what God has done for us. Will we repent? Will we obey? Will we be faithful? Will we watch and pray so that we will not fall into temptation, so that we will not let the Saviour down, but live lives that bring glory to him and help those who need him? Then we will know God's presence and power in our own lives and in the life of our church. Let's not be like Sardis. Let's look good on the outside, but let's look good on the inside too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We pray that you will forgive us for the times when we forget, for the times when we live our lives in our own strength and not in the power of your Spirit. We pray that you will help us day by day to live lives that please you, that will bring glory and honor to you. And as we come to your table now, we pray that you will help us to remember, that you will help us to see afresh just how much you did for us, just how much you do for us, and how much we owe you. Bless us as we come to your table, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.